Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is the Dale and Keith Show. I was told you weren't a huge fan of playing for Bruce and...
Oh, yeah. Piece of shit, tip to tail. No, never liked that guy. I don't know how he is still a coach.
Dale Arnold.
I'll pay you $1,000. If I'm wrong, you pay me.
$100.
No, I want $1,000 because he's got no balls.
I don't
out of my studio.
Rich Keith.
Anybody who quotes wrestling characters in real life is a loser.
Dale and Keith. Middays.
He's going to kill the dragon.
No, Dale,
all three of them plummet to the earth.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. A quick Bruins update. Zdeno Chara, David Krejci, and Stephen Kampfer have all returned to practice today.
There you go.
So
just in time.
Bruce Cassidy said yesterday he thought Chara would return on Wednesday because they're going to take tomorrow off. But apparently they have all returned to practice today. They are out with their teammates.
Well, that's a good sign. I mean, I assumed he was going to play, and they still got a week.
Oh, he's going to no, he'll definitely like, be ready for next Monday.
Oh, for sure.
It was a question of now. We played a little bit of it in the open for you, so let's circle back real quickly, and we'll get to more magic stuff too. Let's talk about Bates Battaglia for a moment.
Oh, this guy!
There is a wildly popular hockey podcast called Spit and Chicklets.
Yes.
It's really well done. They do a great job with it, and I'm not quite sure how they ended up with Bates Battaglia as a guest, but that's beside the point. So Bates Battaglia was, safe to say, a journeyman player during the course of his NHL career. And one of the coaches that he played for, and he's played for a lot of them, was Bruce Cassidy. During Bruce Cassidy's very ill-fated turn as a head coach for the Washington Capitals, I think Battaglia played like 25 games for Cassidy way back when. Now, by the way, Bruce Cassidy will tell you, he screwed up his entire tenure as head coach of the Capitals. He's happy he got an opportunity, and he had to go back to the minor leagues and coach for years before he got the chance to get back as an NHL head coach, and has kind of made the most of it. His record right now as head coach of the Boston Bruins is 117 wins, 52 losses, 22 overtime losses. So that's pretty darn good.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So Bates Battaglia goes on with the Spit and Chicklets podcast, and he had some stuff he wanted to say about his former coach for 25 games, Bruce Cassidy.
Well, it's funny you bring that up just because right now, currently, Bruce Cassidy's having a lot of success with the Bruins. They're playing against your old club, and that isn't going well for Carolina. But I was told you weren't a huge fan of playing for Bruce in Washington when you did.
Yeah, piece of shit, tip to tail. never liked that guy. I don't know how he is still a coach. It boggles my mind. I honestly didn't even know he was still coaching. And I randomly saw a highlight, and I don't even know if it was when they were playing against the Canes. As you can tell, I don't follow a whole lot. I mean, I watch some, but I'm not a diehard. But, I saw him on the screen. And I couldn't believe it. So they just, talk about a guy who's just, it just shows how good Boston is. They're playing that well without him.
So if you go to Bates Battaglia's LinkedIn profile.
Yeah, I do.
And I did, because I was curious. He owns a restaurant or a sports bar in Raleigh, and that's fine. He's also listed as a corporate sales consultant for the Carolina Hurricanes. And he didn't know Bruce Cassidy was coaching in the league?
Do you not need to follow the game, maybe? I don't know. Maybe
I get if your entire job, I guess, is glad-handing
corporate
sponsors on the golf course. But somebody, he watched a highlight and went, hey, I know who that guy is.
But let me spin it this way, because I think Cassidy has been fantastic since he's been here. But it was also, 13 years in between his Washington head coaching stint and his head coaching stint with the Bruins.
Yeah, there was
that's a little bit of time. A gap there. And I wonder if more players felt that way back in the early 2000s.
Sure, it's possible.
And maybe that's one of the reasons why he did struggle.
If we went back and asked, you know, members of the Cleveland Browns about Bill Belichick's, you know, head coaching tenure with the Browns, we'd probably find some people who weren't very impressed with him.
Yeah, so that's why, like, I'm not going to just completely write off Battaglia. Like, he doesn't really do himself any favors talking about, oh, I didn't even know he was coaching and all that other stuff. But,
sounds like a fool when he says that.
But his 25-game interaction with Bruce Cassidy, he hates him.
Yeah.
He hated him. He can't stand him. Now, I'm sure Cassidy has changed.
Piece of bleep, tip to tail.
Yeah, tip to tail. But I'm sure he's changed.
Piece of shit, tip to tail.
But I'm sure he's changed as a coach. Because the guys now, I think, all respect him. I think all the guys now play for him. And we've seen the difference. Claude Julien was a good coach, but that ran its course. And I think this team... the style is different. Everybody is bought in. They're four games away from winning the cup. So Bruce Cassidy is a great coach now, you know, as he's in his early to mid-50s. Whereas when he was in his late 30s, maybe he wasn't a very good coach. I mean, his record was clear he wasn't a good coach. But maybe how he dealt with players, maybe that's sort of what Battaglia is referring to.
It was a strange, maybe just in the aftermath of the franchise that he used to play for and now apparently does work for, getting eliminated in four straight by the Bruins. Maybe he's a little bitter about that.
Yeah, because we haven't heard anybody else come out of the woodwork for this. And maybe some will, you know, after this, I'm sure this question will pop up more. Like, you'll find guys on that, 03-04 Washington Capitals roster, and you'll say, hey, what was he like as a player? Or, I'm sorry, as a coach when you were a player for him. And maybe some will say Bates is full of crap, or others will say, yeah, he's kind of onto something. And that's why he was out of the league, or at least the NHL,
for a long time
and had to come back and fight through the minors.
All right,
almost like
go,
a player.
Let's go through at least some of the reasons Battaglia says and claims that Cassidy was a bad coach.
Okay, so why was he such a bad coach?
Just unprepared. I never knew what we were doing for pride. It was just unorganized as far as, I mean, maybe things have changed. I hope they have, but yeah, it was not my bread and butter up there with him.
I would say probably safe to say they've changed.
I think they seem more prepared now than they were then.
They seem fairly well prepared so far.
Yeah, but maybe they weren't. You know, I think... You know, this was a guy that just maybe wasn't ready for that opportunity. And again, usually when a coach is the head coach in his late 30s and it fails, there's probably a very long list of coaches like that. But don't they usually get a second shot a lot sooner?
Yeah, oh yeah.
So there's definitely some sort of reason for that.
By the way, Cassidy is very blunt about what a terrible coach he was early on. The mistakes that he made. He was hopeful he was going to get another opportunity. He, you know, worked towards it, spent a lot of time in the minor leagues preparing for another chance, and was determined he was going to make the most of it when that chance came, and he has.
We need to find Yager. Yager played on that 03-04 team. We can ask
He'll
Yager.
Talk, huh?
Like, what do you think? What was the deal there? That I think will be interesting to me to see what other guys, if anybody else, gets an interview or sort of speaks up and says how they felt about Cassidy at that point.
A week or so ago, we were interviewing John Shannon, Rogers Sportsnet, on the Nesson pregame show. And we were talking about the difference between Mike Babcock, the coach of the Leafs, who's now 4 years into an 8-year deal, and Bruce Cassidy, you know, the coach of the Bruins. And one of the things Shannon said is, it's quite apparent if you watch that Bruce Cassidy is a player's coach and that Mike Babcock is not.
Yeah.
Mike Babcock is a my way or the highway kind of guy. Similar, quite honestly, I think, to the way Claude ran things here.
Yeah, I was going to say, especially if you go through the list of guys, whether it's Pastrnak, DeBrusque, Heinen, McAvoy, Carlo, all these guys that have played a ton and have huge roles on this team that are in their early 20s, how many of them would have had this kind of a leash with Julien or with Babcock or with whoever else? And some of them, maybe you say, well, McAvoy and Pastrnak would have been fine. I mean, those guys are elite level. But all those other guys, you wonder, what would their learning curve have been? You know, some of these more veteran coaches are also used to more veteran players and having to rely on those guys and only trusting those guys, where it seems like Cassidy trusts all his guys. Like, everybody that's on the ice for him, it seems like he has full trust in, and it's going both ways here.
He has, at times during this season, and I'll just use an example, for a while early on in the year when Jake DeBrusque was struggling, admittedly struggling, Cassidy scratched him, had him watch a couple of games from up on the ninth floor. DeBrusque said, it did me some good. You know, I saw the game from a different perspective. It kind of woke me up. It focused what I had to do.
Yeah.
And he came back into the lineup and, you know, went off like a rocket.
You know what it reminds me of a little bit is sort of like Pete Carroll. Like when Pete Carroll came to the Patriots, the way he attacked things maybe wasn't the way to do it. And he took a pretty talented team and didn't get a lot out of them. Then he had to kind of reset a little bit. So he goes to college, is one of the best college coaches there. He's still the same Pete, but he clearly made some different. He made some changes.
Absolutely he did.
And now he goes to Seattle, wins a Super Bowl. Probably should have won two, but wins a Super Bowl and is now one of the better coaches
if
in the league.
Handed it off.
That's what I would have done. I'm no football genius.
Come out differently?
I would have. I would have handed the ball to him. But I think that sort of, some guys can take a failed first opportunity and that might be it for him. Others make changes. They say, all right, well, what didn't work? Probably everything. Like, what were a few things that maybe did work? How can I get better? And whether you go to, you know, college football in that example, or if you go to the AHL for a number of years, you can figure out what you need to do to get better.
Do you think Belichick is demonstrably different as a head coach now than he was in Cleveland? I have a feeling his way of running things probably hasn't changed, but his interaction with players has probably developed over the years.
I honestly think one of the biggest differences, though, is once you've won, especially early on, you win 3 out of 4 and really 3 out of your first 5 years in New England, you win a Super Bowl, you can do the same stuff and it just has so much more weight to it. Like, players have to see a guy that has won multiple Super Bowls and buy in. Whereas you could coach the same way, and that's what we say about every time a guy gets spun off from the Belichick coaching tree, and if they try doing something like that, the players go, well, you were a coordinator. Like, I understand you have the rings, but you weren't the head coach.
Right, right.
It's a little bit different. So I think Belichick, because he won so early in his time in New England, he was able to keep doing what he's doing. Although, we've also talked to former players that say he is doing some things differently now than he was then.
You know, even from his,
like, 10 years ago to
here,
now.
Right.
Yeah. Like, he's sort of changed. Because you have to adapt with the times. You have to adapt with the players. Doesn't mean some guys aren't more still players coaches and some guys are tougher on their players. But I think Belichick is sort of adapted. And you have to if you're going to be that successful.
Oh, yeah. Piece of shit, tip to tail.
So, listen, Bates Pataglia played in the NHL. He played for Bruce Cassidy. He has a right to an opinion just like anybody else
does. Right.
How much you listen to that opinion probably varies. For instance, if Jaromir Jagr, to use your example.
I was going to say, Jagr was on that team. That's one guy we could talk to. Jeff Halpern, who went to my high school. We could maybe track Jeff Halpern down.
Probably feel about the same as I would about Bates Pataglia.
Okay, fair enough. Halpern, nice player, though. That was not exactly a loaded squad that they had there.
I guess the point is...
Peter Bondra. We could ask Peter Bondra.
There you go.
Get track him down.
You look at Bates Pataglia, who, as I said, has way more hockey talent than I will ever have in my life, played in the National Hockey League, but by most accounts would be considered a journeyman player. You probably don't take put as much stock in his opinion as you would Jaromir Jagr's opinion.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Or, you know, if Zdeno Chara, in the aftermath of retiring, comes back and says, well, I'll tell you what it was like to play for Cassidy. Man, he did this and this, and I disagreed with that.
Well, it's also one of those things, like, you don't really know the specifics. Did Battaglia get scratched in a few games, or did he get bumped to the fourth line? Or, like, I don't know what happened with him. And that could be really easy for a player to hold a grudge against the coach because he thinks he kind of held him down or whatever. Plus, there was a losing environment there.
Oh, God,
like, you were
yeah.
losing a bunch of games, so you're probably not going to like your coach. But, I mean, it sounds like, you know, Pedro talking about Joe Kerrigan. That's what it sort of sounds like when you listen to Bates.
In the same way that when Magic Johnson speaks about the dysfunction within the Lakers organization, you say, well, wait a minute. This is one of the 5 greatest players in the history of the NBA. This is one of the 2 greatest players in the history of the Lakers. His opinion matters.
Yeah, I guess. I just think he was over his head. He's overmatched. That was not a job for him. You know, it's like every great player is not a great head coach, and every great player is not a great GM. Or, you know, there was an article written, this was years ago, it might have been a Wojnarowski article, about how agents around the league loved when teams had former players as GMs. They said that just wasn't their skill set, and they felt like they could win negotiations every time. And some of these crazy contracts that they got were when you had a former player who has so much on-court experience, knows what player that they want. They can identify the talent, But then when it comes to sitting down and figuring out how much money they're worth and figuring out all these different, you know, no trade clauses or whatever else you're going to put in there, they would get overmatched. And that's why I think, you know, Magic Johnson, that was not a position for him. And he ultimately knew it. But to start to blame other people, or start to specifically blame Rob Pelinka for it is a joke.
What do we think his purpose was for going on today? I mean, was it just to decimate Rob Pelinka?
Maybe.
Because it seems as though that was his primary purpose, was to take Pelinka out.
I guess. Or for, honestly, they probably just invited him and he said yes. Like with Magic Johnson, it might be as simple as that. Like, hey, you want to come down to ESPN for the day and go on a show? He's like, sure. He's probably friends with Stephen A. Smith. And that's probably what
happened. Well, they were hugging at the end, I saw.
Good for them. That's nice.
I get the feeling Stephen A. probably hugs a lot of his guests goodbye.
He might. Yeah, he might. He's got a good thing going there with Matt. It's good for their show, though. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, no, it's nothing else. Believe me, no criticism from me.
He is.
I mean, you get a chance to put Magic Johnson on today. And, oh, by the way, he says stuff?
Oh, yeah, he does. Yeah. But I still don't really understand. So he didn't want to fire Luke Walton even after that season? Like, he wanted to keep Luke Walton around? And that was one of the reasons why he left? And now he's saying Rob Pelinka backstabbed him? And to the best of my knowledge, Rob Pelinka just told people that Magic Johnson wasn't always at the office. And by all accounts, he wasn't always at the office. So I don't really understand. I don't understand what the beef is.
Let's give you one more Magic cut from First Take this morning with Stephen A.
I gave up a lot to take that Laker job, right? I gave up weekends with my wife. We go out every weekend. And so Friday now I couldn't go out. Sunday I couldn't go take her to the movies anymore. The things that I had to give up to take that job, and I was willing to do that for 3 years. I was willing to do that.
You couldn't go to the movies?
Oh, no. You would not be able to do this.
Go another time.
You would not be able to give that up as part of your life.
Well, maybe not, but I'm also not the Lakers president. I didn't take that job. He did.
He does know there's an off-season too, right?
So
you can go to the movies a lot in the offseason.
There's no offseason, Dale. So this,
apparently for him, it was during season.
This is actually a serious thing. Why Magic Johnson stepped down from being president of the Lakers. Again, he wasn't fired, even though he probably should have been because he was useless at it. But he stepped down so he could tweet accomplishments to opposing players and go to the movies.
And be a big brother figure for folks.
Yeah, that's why he stepped down.
For Serena Williams and others, he said.
Yeah, he wanted to join, because I'm sure the NBA would have had a huge issue if he was on a board for
Serena Williams or something.
He wanted to tweet out stats from games that he watched, and he wanted to go see a movie on Sunday night with Cookie. That's why he stepped down. Why take the job? What did you think the job was going to be? This is the classic case of, hey, I'm Magic Johnson. We'll get the free agents because I'm Magic Johnson. Well, other teams will make trades because I'm Magic Johnson. And the job should be pretty easy, right? Because I'm Magic Johnson. I'm like, well, no, there's a little bit more to it. He's like, oh, my God. Now the league's telling me I can't tweet. I wanted to go see Detective Pikachu. I can't go do that.
Don't we all?
It's embarrassing, right? Is there another word for it on top of embarrassing?
Do we think that LeBron wanted him gone? Was LeBron and Pelinka in it together saying, hey, well, do you see what this guy's doing?
The one report that came out was that LeBron was surprised by it. So he may have wanted him out.
I don't believe that.
I mean, who knows?
You?
No, I think LeBron runs every
Although
franchise that
Genie
he's at.
Genie was probably surprised. Maybe LeBron
Genie
was.
I think Genie had to have been. Magic is like, yeah, we had dinner last night. I didn't tell her yet. But you're like, what are you doing? I feel like LeBron runs every team that he's on, and there was a little bit of pushback in Miami with Pat Riley, so that's why he left and went to Cleveland. And then he just wanted to make movies. He wanted to make movies and do all that production stuff, and so that's why he's in L.A. And he would have gone whether Magic was there or not, so I don't think he really cares. He's just trying to figure out a way for them to get Anthony Davis or for them to get Klay Thompson or for them to get Kevin Durant or somebody else. That's all he cares about right now. Doesn't matter if it's Magic Johnson, Rob Pelinka, or somebody else.
It was a mess. And you know what? It's not going to get
any comical.
It's not going to get any better this offseason.
No, and I'm so glad that they didn't win the lottery or even, you know, get second or third, because at that point they would have a real good chance at Anthony Davis. The fourth pick does not give you that much cachet.
Sunday I couldn't go take her to the movies anymore.
You know,
couldn't see John Wick 3.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, A, he owns a bunch of movie theaters.
He does.
B,
go anytime he wants.
He's probably got a theater in his own house.
I bet he does.
See,
yeah,
any movie he could go to the theaters and see, he could have brought to the house.
He can't, yeah, of course. So he can't.
There
go,
isn't a movie he can't see in his house
he
if he
see
wants
any
to.
Movie that he wants. And so are we led to believe, too, that this job is 24 hours a day? Like, give me a break. Give me a break.
Seems
like you
a little much.
You have to do more than what you were supposed to do, but it's not every waking moment of your day has to be committed to this. I don't think he wanted to do anything. I think he thought it was just a cool title, and it was another thing to add to his resume, and he could feel important about it. He's still kind of, you know, in the spotlight a little bit. That's all I can think of. But what a mess.
I don't think it's going to get a whole lot better there soon, because I don't think they're going to land the big free agent that LeBron was counting on, because I think a lot of those free agents are going, God, that thing is a mess.
Yeah, LeBron couldn't get him to the playoffs this year. Next year, I don't think they get anybody, because again, Anthony Davis, if Anthony Davis was a free agent, I would say yes, they would get him. There's enough smoke there, the same agent as LeBron, but he's not, so he's going to go somewhere else. And so now you wait until the following year. Maybe you get Anthony Davis, but now LeBron's like 35. He's already not the best player anymore. He's one of the 10 best, but he's not the best player in the league anymore. So I don't think it's – they're not winning a title in L.A. Like
no.
That I think I feel very confident in.
617-779-7937. John's in Andover. Hey, John.
Hi, guys. How are you?
What's up, John?
What's going on?
Hey, I just I like Magic, even though I'm a Celtics fan. I like Magic, and I hate LeBron. But I think they have some things in common. I mean, they both were probably the great players of their era. But they neither one of those guys, I think everyone can agree, should have ever been involved in basketball management. They should have been not at the top of the food chain making decisions. I mean, you've seen LeBron make decisions as a player about his coach, and you've seen Magic now. But I think the one thing that they both have in common, and like I said, I do like Magic, but they're both backstabbers. You see it constantly with these players, the elite NBA players that end up in management jobs, with the exception, I think, of Danny Ainge. But in general, I think they have a lot in common, and neither one of them should ever be in touch of a GM or a president's job.
No, definitely not. I mean, there's no accountability for either one of them.
There's an interesting point. Michael McCann, our sports law expert and friend, tweeted out. He said, sometimes when a high-ranking executive leaves a company, he or she and the company sign a mutual non-disparagement agreement so that the departing executive and those still with the company agree to not badmouth one another. Evidently, the Lakers don't use that kind of agreement.
No.
Or they do, and he ignored it.
Well, sitting on Magic's desk, he just never goes in there.
So in there to know. Take a gander at it.
No, he's never seen it.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We've got Red Sox baseball. In fact, we're part of the Red Sox pregame show coming up at the top of the hour. Sox in Toronto to take on the Blue Jays. We'll get back to the calls with you in a couple of minutes after we...
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Friend.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Zdeno Chara will be playing game one of the Stanley Cup Final alongside Charlie McAvoy. If he's not, I'll pay you $1,000. If I'm wrong, you pay me.
$100.
Come on.
Dale, take it. You're going to get the money. You're
okay,
going to get the $100.
No, I want $1,000 because he's got no balls.
I don't have money.
Wig.
Dale, I don't.
If you're so sure of yourself,
like
go $1,000.
Bet me $1,000 right now or get the hell out of my studio. That was Friday. I've calmed down a lot since
Did he ever talk to his wife and get back to you?
I haven't heard.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
But he's got a
sweet
giant slide he could put up.
Yeah. Yeah. He was still talking about you yesterday, too. He's still looking for that apology. I'm not sure he's going to get it.
Yeah.
I also think we got to wait a week to find out that Charo's back on the top pair. So he's got to talk about it. Well, I mean, I guess not.
We don't have to wait a week.
No. But $100, I don't know why you wouldn't take the $100.
Oh, fine.
$100 is more than $0.
Listen, we have 2 hours with Wiggy this Wednesday. Who knows where that bet will go?
That's true. $1 million.
Be great.
Try to get that big eye slide from him. That huge eye slide.
I didn't even know they could make
that. That's the biggest eye slide I've ever seen.
One quick note here about, and we were talking about the NBA and Magic taking a flamethrower to Rob Pelinka and the Lakers.
Yeah.
So Steve Bulpet wrote a piece recently in the Herald. Now, unfortunately, the Herald has since put up a paywall.
Yeah, what's up with all these paywalls?
Well,
make your stuff free. Show's free. You can listen to this.
For now.
Is that right? We're going to paywall it?
Should. Why not?
Hashtag dork still free.
Subscription fee?
We're thinking about it. We're thinking about making everybody pay $1,000 a month. There's good content there.
All it takes is one.
There's good content. That's all we need is the one, is right.
I was able, you read real quickly until that blue box comes up on your screen.
Dumb.
At which point, you know, you're kind of left with starting over.
Do they
over.
Give you five like the Globe, or do they give you none?
No, they give you none.
What is this, The Athletic now? What are they doing?
You get one.
I'm letting you guys know show prep's going to get real light now because I can't read any of this.
According to WEEI.com. Oh, this one I found on WEEI.com. Ooh, did you guys see this one? Reamer, Bradfo, Hannibal.
So the point that Bulpet was making is that talking to other organizations out there about Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, this is interesting.
That he may not have the number of franchises seeking his services that you might have thought. Now, as Bulpet points out, he's getting a max deal. He's going to get it from somebody.
Right.
Somebody's going to give him a max deal. And he, as he said, it may be the Celtics who are giving him the
max
deal.
But it's also interesting because there are so many really good free agents this offseason. It's a who's who of NBA talent that's going to be available this offseason. And Bulpet's story was saying that at least two teams are saying they only want to give Irving a deal if they can land another big-time free agent and that guy wants to play with Kyrie. And so this was a pretty damning quote. The most interesting bit of information from several sources that we've been able to...
How did you get it?
How did you
get the giant blue box?
I pay for all these sites, Dale.
Oh, okay.
I try to do my job I can do it, and if it involves me plucking down thousands of dollars. The most interesting bit of information from several sources that we've been able to consolidate and confirm is that some teams thought to have interest in Irving as a free agent are now a great deal more wary. Based on the way things played out with the Celtics this season and Irving's role both off the court all year and on it in the playoff loss to Milwaukee, certain clubs are concerned about putting too many eggs in his basket right away. Because that's it. He may still be an A player, like an A-minus A player, but his leadership is like an F.
See, I know we say this about him all the time. I think what we learned this year is that he's not a one. He's a two.
But I think part of it is because, like, I think the actual skill should be a one, but what you need is more than
right,
that.
Right, right.
Like
it's not just the skill set.
It's how you get along with your teammates and how you make those guys better and everything else. So, yeah, I convinced myself that he was with the right cast. And I guess the fair argument would be how many true number ones are there? Like, that's a tough list. You know what I mean? Like how many guys? Like, Giannis... Probably Kawhi, Curry.
Like, we kind of climbed off the Kyrie Irving bandwagon, and we had this discussion
January
with Wiggy 17. When he was in here.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, what he needs is, he needs a 1A. I think what he needs is a 1.
He might be the 1A.
Right. He is the secondary. Now, he's a terrific player. As you said, skill set probably of a number one player.
Yeah, it is.
But I'm not sure that psychologically he's got the makeup to do that.
Well, he's kind of already proven it. Like, he won the title with LeBron.
Yep.
Now, he had some unbelievable games.
Including the shot.
But he's had multiple 40-point games in the NBA Finals.
Yep.
Like, he has matched up really well with Curry. He outplayed Curry in some of those NBA Finals games. Maybe even the whole series. Yet, he is not that guy for a number of reasons. And maybe it's also with this coach. Maybe they don't really see eye to eye, and that could be a problem. Now, A'Sherrod Blakely kind of followed up on that story, And he added he spoke with one executive who said it's possible, quote, that Kyrie Irving is playing all of you guys right now and that he's going to return to the Celtics once he gets a chance to look at all of his options.
I think it's entirely possible. So who was it who said, I think it was Chris Mannix who said, he's got the smallest inner circle of any player out there, that basically it's him and his dad.
Right, right.
And that anything that comes from anybody other than those two, you should consider it suspect. Maybe he and his dad are saying, look, we can get the absolute most money if we go back to Boston. We'll, you know, $20 extra million. We'll just do that.
But how I read this is he may not have the option from the New York Knicks unless they get Durant. Right, like they might look at it and say, well, why would we want Kyrie? Look how talented the Celtics were this year, and they had Kyrie, and they got bounced in the second round. Why would we want to invest all of our money? Well, not all of it, but why would we want to give up one of our max contracts, and is he going to submarine our team? The other team that there's been a lot of buzz about is the Brooklyn Nets. They got a good young team. Well, I don't know if they're good. They're on their way up. You know, D'Angelo Russell, like they have some players there. Do they want to bring Kyrie and disrupt all of that? And as the sources said, put all your eggs in the Kyrie basket? You may not want to. You may say, well, we better get Kevin Durant or somehow find a way to trade for Anthony Davis. And then at that point, we'll team these guys up because we've seen what it's like with him on his own, and it's not good enough. It's not worth it.
I mean, I guess all Kyrie needs really is one other team.
That's it.
If we think that the Celtics are going to offer him a max deal, and most people seem to think that, although I have my doubts, but most people seem to think that.
I hope they don't, but I think they will. I think Danny still will. He's going to push for the talent. Kyrie has more talent than, you know, anybody else out there that they could just sign. And so I think he's going to offer him the deal. And, like, what is Kyrie looking for? Like, that's been the question all season, isn't it? What does Kyrie want? Like, if he had a list, like, if his agent sat down and said, all right, what are you looking for? Is it location? Because money... teams can only offer you so much. So, like, money, they're all going to max you out.
You can get more here.
Right.
But it's also an extra year. Or the Nets, they can only give you the exact same contract.
So, money, you put that to the side. We're going to work under the impression that every team is going to offer you a max deal, whatever their respective max deal is. Do you want to be the man? Do you want to play with a certain other guy? Do you like a certain location? Do you like what is it that would make him happy? And from everybody that deals with Kyrie, or at least covers him, it sounds like what he wants on Tuesday could be different than what he wants on Wednesday.
It does seem to change, doesn't it?
Yes. So I don't know how you'd keep up with that. Because in a perfect world, he's probably saying, oh, I want to play with Anthony Davis and Kevin Durant in New York. But that might be easier said than done. Why are the Knicks going to trade Anthony Davis there? Do we know for sure that Kevin Durant's going to do that? I think all the money right now is on Durant leaving Golden State and going to New York. Especially this has got to be weird for him, isn't it? So he joins the Warriors after the Warriors come back from a 3-2 deficit and beat the Thunder. But then they lose in the finals to Kyrie and LeBron. So Durant teams up with the Warriors. They win back-to-back titles. And now this year he gets hurt. They eliminate the Rockets without him. And now they're up 3-0 with the Trailblazers without him. And it sounds like there's no date for when he's going to return.
They make it sound like it's if he's going to return.
Right. And so they keep waiting on that because initially it was he's out game 1 and 2 of the Portland series. Like, okay. Like, well, now he's out 3 and 4. Well, there's a chance, and I know they really spread things out, and the NBA finals aren't going to start for another, 10 days or so. But, or maybe even longer, actually. But, I mean, if he doesn't play in the finals, that's sort of a weird thing. I wonder if he's would be more inclined to come back and keep playing, or does he really want his own team? Like, I have no idea what Durant wants, but it sounds like it's going to be directly tied to what happens with Irving.
I thought when Durant got hurt, I thought he was going to be out for a while. Now, yeah. I wondered about Achilles because he kind of grabbed at the back of his ankle there.
Because they're all saying calf, right? That's
calf.
What they're saying? But
it seems like a pretty damning debilitating calf injury.
You ever get a calf cramp? It's not good.
Well, no.
That's real bad. Oof. What do you do there? You're supposed to extend your foot, I think, right? And then eat a bunch of bananas. That's what I've heard.
Not necessarily in that order.
Yeah. Or is that cramping? Or is that, no, it's the same thing, right?
Yeah, you need the potassium.
Potassium, that's right. Yeah, I'm all around it.
Dr. Shine's here, don't worry.
Thank you, Shine.
Surrounding
symbol
the whole
K.
thing.
There you go, fun fact.
That's right.
Well, it would appear that the busy Celtics offseason, and by the way, according to everything we've read, Danny Ainge is already participating in
that's great
pre-draft
news.
Meetings and workouts, and he was a participant in the the postseason meetings that they have. They always have meetings with every player when the season ends and, you know, go through what the offseason, you know, this is what we want you to work on. Here's the conditioning program we're going to put you on, whatever it is. He was involved in those, so it sounds as though he'll be the guy again.
Yeah, which is obviously...
Because I was worried about that.
Sure, yeah. I mean, that's a scare. And so the fact that... Because this is going to be... This is such an important offseason, not only for this upcoming season, but for where they go from here. I mean, they could trade Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, and like what that says to the team and how the future roster is going to look. They have their own free agents, but they also have their own guys that are tradable. It's going to be, you know, we could be looking at a completely different team next year.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We've got time for some calls before the top of the hour. At the top of the hour, we become the Red Sox pregame show, or part of the Red Sox pregame show. Afternoon baseball today in Toronto. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
W-E-E-I. So you'll remember a few weeks ago we found out that Peyton Manning had declined an invitation from ESPN to be the analyst for Monday Night Football. So they decided we're just going to stick with Joe Tessitore and Booger McFarland. We're not going to have a third man in the booth. That's what we're going to keep.
They should go Pat McAfee.
They could. It'd be
they
great.
They should. But yeah, two man booth Monday Night Football.
So Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, wrote about this. He said, and I'm quoting now, rumor has it that the Jets, New York Jets, would like to hire Peyton Manning to run the team's football operations. It's unclear whether Manning would be interested. And seat of the pants, he admits it. He says, my seat of the pants, it ain't my money, so I can be generous with it. Dart in the dark was that it would take $20 million a year plus 2% of the franchise's equity.
What? Okay, Robert Downey Jr.
So what he's saying here is that an estimated value right now of $2.9 billion for the Jets, Manning's share of the team would be worth another $29 million, and that number would undoubtedly keep growing and growing. He even says, would Manning be worth it? Yes.
Why?
He's destined to thrive at whatever he eventually chooses to do, and if and when he begins to run a team, he will throw everything he has into it.
Wait, why? Why do you
Peyton
know he'd be
Manning,
good?
What? Yeah, Magic Johnson was great running the Lakers, wasn't he?
And John Elway seems like he's got his finger on the pulse now,
doing
doesn't
a
he?
Fine
out there?
Job there.
Like, come on. Like, I just feel like people fall in love with the names. And it's one thing if you're, say, ESPN. Like, remember when they hired Emmitt Smith? You're like, Emmitt Smith's a big name, and Emmitt Smith as like a broadcaster
right.
was horrible. And like, a lot of these guys are great players, and they can't do that. So I don't know why you think, oh, just because he was really good as a quarterback, he'd also be really good as a GM. Now, he might be. I'm not saying former players can't do it. Like, we've seen examples where they go up and all of a sudden they're identifying, to, you know, Ozzie Newsome was awesome at drafting and awesome at roster construction. But why would you give, first time ever doing it, right out of the gate,
$20 million plus bucks? $29 million more? And by the way, that's $20 million a year, according to Florio. It would. He's saying...
$20 million a year?
$20 million per year.
What a waste.
Plus 2% of the franchise's equity.
No, that doesn't make any sense.
I mean, look, maybe he'll be great at this. Maybe he'll be, you know, the next Bill Belichick in terms of team building and roster manipulation and
maybe.
All those things.
Maybe.
I got nothing to base that on. Other
no.
than the fact that he was a really good quarterback.
Right. But that's
by
the
way, Tom Brady was a better quarterback. I'm not sure he'd be any good at it either.
Well, they also, with zero experience, they're able to sort of skip the line. Like, he doesn't have to be an assistant GM. He doesn't have to be, like, a scout or whatever. Like, he doesn't have to do all these things on his way up. He's just, oh, you're a Hall of Fame player, so obviously you're going to be in the front office now. Like, that just seems, that would be a classic Jets move,
oh,
though.
Yeah, it'd be absolutely.
Great. This whole thing, by the way, did you see, now they're trying to trade Le'Veon Bell. Did I read that this weekend? They're trying to trade Le'Veon Bell because Adam Gase
the guy who's
didn't
the
want him.
Who's the acting GM, yeah. didn't want him to begin with.
Right, so now he's taking over, the head coach, Crazy Eyes McGee, he's taking over and now trying to trade their big signing. So they're off to just a brutal start. I mean, that is, New York Jets football is the same as it ever was.
Which is why,
yeah,
as long as Belichick and Brady want to keep staying here,
good,
they'll keep killing it.
That's right. The Jets are no threat. Even though I kind of like some of the players on their team, there's no way this is going to go well this season.
Uh-oh. Oh,
wow. Cue the birthday band?
It's your birthday today.
Right, what do you got, Keith?
Gotta be legendary Red Sox pitcher Bruce Hurst.
Good no. call.
Sean, you got a guess on this one? Bruce Wayne?
Good one, Sean.
No, not Bruce Wayne. Not Bruce Bochy. A lot of people
Bruce
on the...
Springsteen.
Not Bruce Springsteen. We don't go music there.
Was probably good.
Bruce Jenner? I mean, I know he's no longer, but...
Well, he's no longer.
Now it would have to be Caitlin.
Bruce Boudreau. Former Manchester Monarchs head coach Bruce Boudreau.
I don't know who you guys are talking about.
54 years young today. The head coach of the Boston Bruins, Bruce Cassidy.
All right, Bruce.
Happy birthday to Bruce Cassidy. I'm sure there's a cake coming from Bates Battaglia even as we
speak.
I'm sure
it's on its way. Well, that is good news. He could celebrate his birthday, watch a lot of tape on the Blues and Sharks.
Only got one more week.
One more freaking week. Bruce, happy birthday.
My guess is they've probably done the whole film breakdown of both at this point. Obviously not preparing at practice or meetings for either team, but inside, within the organization, they've got breakdowns for both right now. They've had plenty of time.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. Do you care? Because I thought the Sharks were the better team, but then after watching the last two games, now I'm not so sure. Either way, it's going to be a better team than Carolina.
Erik Karlsson skates like I do right now.
Yeah, so that's a big problem for them.
Tomas Hertl got hurt yesterday.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Hertl. Yeah.
You just wanted to use
like
that.
I like that
so
guy.
So bad.
It'll probably be St. Louis. And again, every round, they've gotten the better matchup, it seems like. Like, if you just take the two opponents that they could have faced, whether it was Tampa Bay, Columbus, they got Columbus. And then if it was Carolina, New York, they got Carolina. And then if it's San Jose, St. Louis, it's looking like St. Louis.
Dom Lucision, the stats nerd for the Athletic, has posted the updated playoff probabilities after yesterday's action.
Oh, boy.
Number three, the San Jose Sharks. They have a 6.6% chance of winning the Stanley Cup. The St. Louis Blues are second at 19.7%.
Oh, that's pretty good for the Bees.
The Boston Bruins, according to the stats nerds, have a 73.7% chance of winning the Stanley Cup. Well, we'll see, because you still got to play it. We've got Red Sox baseball coming up at the top of the hour. We're going to be part of the pregame show.
Yes, sir.
OMF will be on after the game. We will be back here tomorrow. Hope you'll join us. But stay tuned, because Red Sox baseball is coming up next. Sports Radio, WEEI.
Goodbye. Thank you for stopping by. Goodbye.
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 Thank you.
We're stopping by!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.